Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're in part 27 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. We're going to be reading a little bit from the book of Galatians today. This is going to be tape 129 or CD number 129. Let us know what you prefer, the tape or the CD. There's no charge. And if you need a Bible and you haven't got the money to pay for it, don't be ashamed. Ask, because it's more important to ask so that you can receive, and you need the Bible to survive today's all the different false doctrines that are going on. And not only the false doctrines, but socialism, communism, fascism, Nazism, and Illuminati, and all these are false doctrines, false lies. The Vatican wants you to believe that everything is, all these organizations come from the Vatican, just like the Jesuits. The Jesuits are the Vatican. The Ustashi is the Vatican. The Knights of Malta are the Vatican. The Knights of Columbus are the Vatican. They've got so many fringe groups. Socialism is from the Vatican. Communism is from the Vatican. Fascism is from the Vatican. This book, Red Fog Over America, is from the Vatican. It's just, all they are is telling you about the Illuminati. There's no such thing as these things. They make these things up to where it's, they keep your mind busy thinking about other, these fictitious organizations that are nothing more than smoke screens to keep the heat off the Vatican, which is a church front of Satan. And all these false doctrines and organizations come from them, and don't pay any attention to them. They say Russia's going to get you, the Jews are going to get you, the Chinese are going to get you, and all the time they're the ones that are getting you. Okay, so if you just believe what the Lord said that Satan's seat is in Rome, the city of the seven mountains. He said every abomination is horrible sin, comes from that organization. God calls this a church front in Rome, where this is Satan's seat. He calls that Satan's coven. And he says that every evil thing in the world emanates from that place. He states that the world government is from that place. The one world government that has taken all the industry out of this country by telling you it's communism, socialism, Nazism, Mohammedism, all these. Even Mohammedism is the Catholic front. The Catholics organized and raised Mohammed up, and a whole nation of Islam, to do a lot of evil things in the world that the Pope dictates for them to do. And that gets your mind off Catholicism too. But when God says that every evil thing in the world that is happening is coming from that Satan's church, the false church, the church front. In reality, they keep screaming about cults. They call you a cult, me a cult. If you're not a Catholic, you're a cult to them. But to God, if you're in the Satan's false church, or that church front in Rome, you're the cult. You're the biggest cult there is. And for all these organizations, these different churches that have joined in with her, they're the cults. Now, we know that Lutheran Church has joined in with the Catholics. Martin Luther was anti-Semitic. He hated Jews because he was a Catholic. They hate Jews. A friend of mine was in he owned Cashbox magazine. He just recently passed away. He told me, and I've said this before on the radio, that he the Pope wanted, he cut a record. He cut a long playing record, I guess, of him chanting or something, I don't know, or speaking. And he wanted to get on the charts. As a matter of fact, he wanted to be number one. So what he did is invited George to Rome and paid for his ticket and everything, and then had a motorcade meet him at the airport when he arrived. So he took George to the Vatican, and there was a the Pope, they said, was busy with people kissing his ring or his feet or something, and or possibly sucking on his toes. I don't have any idea, but he was busy doing something like that. And so they said the Pope instructed this a committee of people to take him through the catacombs underneath the cult. And so they did. And George told me, he says, I saw all these caskets, these coffins, there was shelves of them, just thousands of them down there. And George Albert was a Jew, but he changed his name to get away from the persecution. He owned Cashbox magazine. He's the one that started the charts. Then Billboard copied it. So anyway, he says, who are all these dead people here? And they said, the committee said, they're our enemies. And he said, who are your enemies? And they got a real wicked look on their face, and he said, the Jews. Well, George had the most salty mouth I ever heard in my life. Boy, if you ever heard anybody use profanity, George could win the contest in that department for sure. He called him every kind of a name, profane name, that he had in his vast vocabulary of profanity, and says, get me out of here. I don't want to see your Pope. And so they had to take him back to the airport and put him on the plane and send him back. And so needless to say, they didn't get on the charts, not on Cashbox charts anyway. And he says, I know what you're saying is the truth, Tony. He says, that's for sure. And he says, everybody in town in Hollywood, you know, professional people, they know you're telling the truth, but what do we do about it? I said, well, you have to be saved, and just stay a hold of the Lord, because you're not going to be here that much longer, George. You're deep into your 70s, and you're going to be, just know what's going on and pray to the Lord. You can pray that all this stuff is going to end. It won't. The Lord's coming back, and things are going to get worse and worse. But God can do everything. God, you know, there's so many things that will depress a person in this world and discourage them. But if you pray to God and just rest in Him as your Sabbath or rest, God will make a way for you so that you don't, you're not that upset about what's going on. Because God eventually is going to destroy all these people, these Jew haters, and these people that hate blacks and Hispanics. And they just hate. You have to realize that these people that do all the hating, it's because that the spirit of Satan is dwelling in them, and that's why they need to get saved themselves. So we don't hate these people that hate us so much. We need to pray for them that they'll get saved, and when they do, then they'll be our friends instead of our enemies. Now, this Vatican, this satanic cult, the Bible says that it is empowered, it's given its power by the great red dragon, which is Satan. And so we know that this government, the Catholic Church front in Rome, is where Satan is sitting. It says it's Satan's seat, and that it controls the World Council of Churches and the United Council of Churches, the World Churches, all those that are joined to the Vatican, and they control the government, and the government is the muscle of the Vatican. Satan uses the government powers to persecute Christians, Jews, blacks, Hispanics, anyone they want to. Satan just loves to torture people, George, And so just know these things. He says, you've really informed me a lot, Tony, and I appreciate it for you. And so I led George, the owner of Cash Box, to the Lord before he died. And that makes me feel real good. And that makes Satan very angry. That's why they're doing everything in their power to stop my voice. And that's why they're slinging every kind of false accusation. But I rejoice when I see them do that, because Jesus himself stated that if they did these things to me, why would you think it's a strange thing that they should do these things to you? If you're one of my followers, they're going to persecute you. When you see all these different, quote, churches, unquote, those that have united themselves to the Antichrist, they're not getting persecuted. Like, in other words, these Roman Catholic clergy that are child molesters and homosexuals, they molest little boys, little preteen boys and teenage boys. You see them, when they are exposed, they just ship them off to the Vatican and hide them. They're probably down there in the catacombs with the Jews, the dead Jews, because they're dead in their sins and trespasses anyway. Or maybe they get them out in the winery, over in the vineyards, you know, because they do that in the United States too. The Christian Brother Wine Company is run by these monks. They're slave labor camps, Gallo wine. They don't pay taxes because they're owned by the Vatican. Doesn't that set ill with you that we have to pay taxes and they don't? Naturally, there's no wonder why these Catholics are able to get rich quick, because they use slave labor and they don't have to pay taxes. If we, and you say, well, you're a Christian, you don't pay taxes. Oh, yes, I do. I just paid taxes. They make me take a salary. I never wanted to take a salary, but they make me do it. It's all right if you are work in the slave labor, Catholic or Satan's slave labor camp, crushing grapes, picking grapes, making wine, bottling it, or whatever you do in those plants, or the beer manufacturing and the scotch or whiskey organizations that the Vatican runs. They don't pay any taxes. Why, you could be successful, and I would too. Monetarily, I'm more successful than anybody in the world, I feel, is because I'm saved. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus, and I have rest and Sabbath. I'm at peace. And I preach the very gospel that was given to me, the same gospel that was given to the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, and all the other apostles. I'm preaching the same gospel. And the Bible tells us that anyone preaching any other gospel to you other than the gospel that we received, let him be accursed. We have received it, and we preach it to you. And I pray that you people are not like the foolish Galatians who have believed another gospel and believe that you can get into the kingdom of heaven by keeping the law. The law doesn't save anyone. The law condemns people for not keeping the moral law. If you don't keep the moral law, you're going to go to hell in the lake of fire. The law doesn't have any power to save you. It is just there to condemn you, and is like a schoolmaster, or it has a strong rod to condemn you, to get you on your knees to ask God for forgiveness for all your sins, so that the power of God and the truth of God and the life of God can enter into your body. Once that happens, well, then you're not under the condemnation of the law anymore. But if you break it again, then the law, the moral law, condemns you back into hell. And that's why it says that we're not under the law. Now, this is the gospel that was given to all the apostles. This is the gospel Jesus preached. This is the gospel throughout the entire Old Testament. Jesus preached from the Old Testament all the time that he is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. And so I'm preaching the same gospel. And so if the Catholics or the Lutherans or anybody else says that I'm a cult, then what they're doing is calling the prophets, Jesus, God, all the apostles and the disciples of Christ, calling them a cult too. Now I ask you, are we all a cult, or is Satan's Antichrist government the cult?
Satan's Antichrist.
Yes, amen. Okay, so hopefully I've made a strong case here. And we're going to go up to the throne now and ask that the Lord anoint this service. Father, we thank and praise your holy name for the truth. I thank you, Lord, for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was not preached to me by man or given to me by man. I was saved very much in the same manner that the Apostle Paul was. You came and broke the ice. You showed me that you really existed in the kingdom of heaven, and that you had the power to take my life and send my soul to hell. And you did the same thing to the Apostle Paul, and we were both a couple of real weasels. I wasn't killing Christians like Paul was, but I was just a real bad person, person that really needed to be saved, just like everybody else. And, you know, Lord, you say that even the self-righteous people that think that they don't need you as the Savior, they don't need your life living in them. Wow, that's really strong. But I was convicted of my sins when you came in to me, as you did the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. He saw you in a bright light. I had a quite more traumatic experience than that. It was, you were pulling the breath in and out of me, shut my ears off, was talking through my entire body. I could hear better in my toes, Lord, in my hands and chest and every part of my body than I could in my ears. My carnal ears were shut off. I couldn't hear anything with them. But I heard you loud and strong, and you told me that I better convince these people that Jesus is coming back to earth. At least get up and tell them and do your best to convince them. You won't convince them, but you better get up and try to convince them with all your power, or I'm going to send your soul to hell. And I had to do it. And you started pulling the breath in and out of my body when I tried to convince you that I didn't want to do it. I'll do it tomorrow or some other time. Actually, I was trying to con you. And you're one party that no one can con. No one can hide anything from you. Everything is naked and open before your eyes. And no one is able to tell you what to do or how you're doing it. You do things exactly the way your word says. And Lord, you said that when we pray to you and ask you to anoint us and for you to talk through my mouth, that you'll do it, because I'm asking for the purpose of saving souls and strengthening the church. And I know you hear me, and I know you've answered me, and therefore I know that you're going to do it. I don't want any word to be my own, but yours. In Jesus' name, and everyone says, amen.
Amen.
All right, now, where are the letters from?
The first letter's from Brongahafo, Ghana, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor, I am writing to thank you and your ministry for the help you have given to my church and ministry called Truth Ministry in Zazera. The literature, books, and some of the Bibles you sent to me have been used for this purpose. Through that, I have obtained many new converts. God bless you for your good work you have done. I am therefore writing to you to send me some Bibles to be given to my new converts. I am also requesting for 6 large print Bibles for some elders who cannot see properly.
All of our Bibles are pretty large print. They're very thick, and they're, they're not as thick as these great big old Bibles, but they're thick. They're not thin Bibles at all. And so they're pretty much large print. And I know they weigh about twice as much as most of these thin Bibles you see. Hopefully they'll work, and if they don't, let us know, and we'll try to find some large print Bibles for you. All right, then what?
Hoping to hear from you soon. Yours in Christ, Samuel, from Brongahafo, Ghana, Africa.
Praise the Lord, Brother Samuel. Love you, brother. Okay, and then where's the next letter from?
From Glasgow, Scotland. Guardian of Almighty Truth, I am writing to thank you for changing my life. I recently received from my American pen friend, Jose, a stunning collection of turn-of-the-century stamps. I was leafing through the Christmas section and out fell a copy of one of your world newsletters. I took this to be a sign. Your writings have enlightened us. Please, please, may you send me some more of your work so that we may continue to reach out to the lost. We are worried that the Scottish people are losing their way. We believe that your prayers, more than most, offer a better way for our country. We beseech you to proceed with your good work. Thank you again, Soul Saver, Mr. McTavish.
Praise the Lord. That's a good Irish name. Amen. McTavish. Isn't it wonderful to know that these Irish Catholics are getting saved? You know, this is one of the reasons why Satan hates us so much, is for getting to the all the Hispanics that are Catholic, the Italianos that are Catholics, and we're getting them to worship Jesus instead of this Mary, because Mary is not part of the deity. This Jesus with his Father by the Spirit, that deity is, and we're only allowed to worship deity. All right, then where's, let's hear the next letter.
From Zambia, Africa. Dear Pastor, I send my warmest greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I trust you and your family are fine, as the Lord is with us. Man of God, God has called you in these last days to minister to people not only from your church, but to all the world. This is why we call you World Pastor. See, man of God, of late I have introduced a lot of people to you from my country, and they have all said, Pastor Lamo is the man with the heart of the people. Please, please, man of God, continue to do the same work. Everywhere in my town we are giving them the newsletters and other literature. From the time we started distributing your newsletters of what the Lord is doing in the world, we have many coming to join our church. We are not only evangelizing in the U.S., but you are evangelizing in our town also. Please, please, please put us on your mailing list so that we can maybe help new converts that flog in our country almost every Sunday. Excuse me. That flog in our church almost every Sunday. My church I'm pastoring.
Flock into our church is what he means, all right? Not flog. Okay?
Yes.
Then what?
Please, please, please put us on your mailing list so that we can maybe help new converts that flock in our church almost every Sunday. My church I'm pastoring has been wanting to see you in our town so that you can come and bless us with God's word. We would love if you could come. I'm requesting 30 sweatshirts or t-shirts, 10 extra large, 10 2X, and 10 large for the team I am working with. Signed, Charles from Zambia, Africa.
All right. Praise the Lord, Brother Charles. It's wonderful to hear from you. Keep the letters coming. I would to send all these people that have sent us these responses, send them a copy of the tape and all the things that they're asking for. All right. So now we'll begin with part 27. Of how to have God's life living in you. All right, but first, we're going to read a little bit from chapter 1 in Galatians, because all this has to do with God's life living in you. When you hear the Word of God, that means you're hearing from God. And when you hear God's Word, His Word is Spirit and life. And those words of Spirit, of God's immortal life, is entering into you. Whether you know it or not, you may be unconscious to it, but I'm going to make you conscious of it. God's Word is eternal life, all right? So let me hear some of it.
Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ.
Right, that's me too. I was not one to the Lord by hearing a message from a man. I thought that every human being was a phony. And all Christians were phonies, because, you know, I don't understand how people can listen to these, a lot of these preachers. I'm not saying all of them, but a lot of them. Most of them. And believe the garbage they're saying, that you can still sin and God's just going to love you. Then what's the point of being saved? Amen?
Amen.
You know, or what's the point of living a consecrated life if Why would God threaten me if I didn't say some words that Jesus Christ is God, and that he's coming back to earth again? Get up on the Lord told me, get up on your feet and tell these people in this room about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's coming back to earth again, or thou shalt surely die. Then I read the Bible and I see that he threatened Ezekiel. And he sends us into a very perilous world. He said, we're like sheep among wolves, and we stand in jeopardy all day long. We could be killed at any moment because people hate the true gospel of the Lord. They don't mind this wishy-washy, sweet Jesus type of a gospel, but they don't want to hear that God threatens people or Jesus threatens people, and that there's a hell, and that a good God would never send anybody to hell. Well, this good God will, the one that really wrote the Bible, that dictated the Bible to the prophets, to the apostles, and the real Jesus, who is God come in the flesh, he's the one that preached more hellfire and brimstone than anybody in the Bible. If you don't believe me, just pick it up and read it for yourself. But I caution you, don't use any of these Catholic, satanic, antichrist government Bibles, because they'll tell you that the true authorities of God are the government agents, and we know that they're definitely not of the Lord. Now, there may be some of them that are, but I don't see how they could stay in the government. They may believe in Jesus, but not according to the gospel. Okay, so Paul never got saved from a man preaching to him, and either did I. God came and visited me personally himself. Then go ahead and read some more.
Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from
that
God.
That means power of God be with you, because Jesus brought grace and truth. That means power, resurrection power, and the power to get in you, to live in you, to give you the power to keep the moral law. Now, like I said, the moral law cannot save your soul, because everybody's broken the moral law. But that's why Jesus came into the world, is to give you power to be able to keep it, and give you truth, and to give you his life, his eternal life. The Father, the Bible tells us that God is full of life, and that means full of Christ, because Christ is the way, the truth, and he is life, L-I-F-E, God's eternal life. So no man can come unto the Father unless he has this life living in him. So religions don't tell you to have God's life living in you, and therefore religions can't save you. Muhammad, he has no life in him. Life must come from deity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead. And the Bible tells us that the same Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. That is, if Jesus with the Father by the Spirit is living in you, then you too will be raised from the dead on the last day. But if the Spirit of God is not in you, then you don't. You're none of God's. You're nothing to him. All you are is chaff to be burned. And so that's why we're preaching these messages here, that I'm preaching these messages to how to have God's life living in you, because without that, you know, you can belong to 1,000 different religions, but they're not going to help you. Jesus, Mary's not going to help you. Muhammad is not going to help you. Paramahansa Yogananda, Muhammad, Buddha, Shintoism, the Pope, they don't have any life in them. They actually have got Satan living in them. The death, they're full of death. But the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are life, life eternal, and are able. Now, Jesus has become a life-giving spirit, and he can now enter into you to give you, to quicken your soul unto eternal life, to quicken your spirit. And we're all going to go out to meet God, And if he doesn't see the Spirit, the blood of Jesus on your soul, and a sinless soul, with his Son mingled with himself, with God the Father, and the Spirit mingled in your spirit, you're not going to enter into heaven. There's only one other place for you to go, and that's hell in the lake of fire. Okay, so let's keep reading.
Grace, power be to you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, how can you have peace? If you've got the power of God in you, then you've got peace. Why? Because God, Jesus with his Father, with God the Father and the Holy Spirit are in you, and if they be in you, who could be against you? So you're peaceful. Well, they can come and kill our body. Yes, Jesus admitted that. They can kill your body. But they can't kill your soul. If you're saved, you have peace, knowing that if they kill your body, your spirit is going to, you, the real you, is going to be in heaven. And there's no way that they can get you out of heaven once you're there. So the main goal for all of us to have is to get to heaven, okay, and to stay out of hell in the lake of fire. So don't be concerned about your flesh or what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear or any of these things or any of these terrorists that are threatening to make everything ground zero. Don't be worried about them, because God's going to make everything ground zero, and he's going to burn the whole world up, be more. But God has the power to take your life and sling your soul into hell. So fear him, Jesus said. Don't fear Satan. And if you have God with you, you know he might take your life, but he's not going to send your soul to hell. If he can't send your soul to hell, if you're born again of the Spirit and serving him, and keeping your soul filled with the power of God, which is a daily experience that we must experience. Okay, continue on.
Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world.
Well, but how does he deliver us from this present evil world? I just got through telling you, by his resurrection power. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Amen?
Amen.
So he said, if I live in you, then I can deliver you from this present world. The minute that you become saved, well, the Spirit of God is in you, and you're sitting with Christ because you're connected to him spiritually. You're sitting with him in heavenly places, and he's with you. You're in him, and he's in you, because you are the temple of God. They're talking about this new temple that's going to be built in Israel. And they think that when the Bible says the temple of God, that that's the temple of God. God makes it clear, his Son Christ Jesus, who is God in the flesh, makes it clear that there's no, God doesn't live in temples made of clay by man. You are the temple of God. Vous, which is French for you. You're the temple of God. And the Bible states that the devil is going to move into a lot of people that were once saved, and this devil will live in these former saints because they become so fearful of the satanic Antichrist government that's run by the Vatican, Satan's seat, or this church front. And the media, because the media can start slurring you and make your life miserable. And that's what they do all the time. They always try to make that the Christian churches look sinister. But you never see them beating or bearing down on any of the presidents that confess already. They said that was their job. It was their full responsibility that they killed all those kids over at Waco. And it comes out in many different ways, hundreds of ways, that the government was involved in blowing up the World Trade Center and the Oklahoma Federal Building, and they took full responsibility for murdering those children and those women and those godly men over at Waco, Texas. And so these are the ones that are evil, and they use the media, and unfortunately they are on there 24 hours a day, and they can keep pumping brain damaging you into believing that this is so, that these people were evil. They make you believe that people are evil that are really good. And the Bible stated that that would happen in the last days, that they'll make that which is evil good and that which is good evil. Look at how evil they're making the Bible sound, or people that preach it. They're calling us cults and everything like that. But God says that they are the cult, that Satan is in them, and God is in us. And so you are required to read the Bible so that you can be able to determine who the real cult is. If it's me, then tell me what I'm saying that's cultish, all right? I'm preaching the same gospel that the Apostle Paul that we're reading here preaches. And just go on here. I'm going to just let you roll for a while, because there's a clause in here that the Lord Jesus Christ, through Paul, tells us. Go ahead.
Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ.
The power of Christ, and then what?
Unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach...
Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other... Oh, go ahead.
Preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed.
Okay. So Paul is saying that his gospel is true. Amen?
Amen.
And he was definitely called by the Lord, and I am definitely called by the Lord, the same manner that he was. God came out of heaven through Jesus Christ, who is God also, and called me into the ministry just like he did the Apostle Paul. And I'm telling you that the gospel I'm preaching is true. And so the media is definitely lying about us, and the people that are lying, including Satan's church, or church front, and all the affiliates of it, the government, which is the United Nations, all of them are fighting me, and the media, they're all accursed because they're preaching that what I'm preaching is false, and I'm preaching the very thing that Jesus, the prophets, and the apostle preached, all right? Everything that they're preaching, I preach. Now, how am I a cult? All right? I mean, that is, yeah, it's a joke. Now, continue. I'll read that statement again.
But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed.
And keep reading.
As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed.
Can't you people out in the world tell that they're preaching another gospel other than what you're hearing from me?
Yes.
Okay, now the radio stations that I'm on say that I'm the most powerful preacher they have on their stations, and they've got Billy Graham on, they've got everybody. Billy Graham doesn't even seem to know the Bible. He says if he had it to do all over again, they ask him, would you do anything different? He says, yeah, I'd study more. Yeah, Billy, you should definitely study more, because you've been, if you're representing that you're of God and you're preaching a different gospel, that's, you're saying you don't know if homosexuals are going to go to hell. They will if they don't repent. Amen?
Amen.
And you don't, he said, well, that's not my call. It is your call, Billy. God has called us to preach the whole gospel. And if you're preaching that that isn't your call, then you're preaching another gospel. And you're accursed. You're accursed. Now, you've had a life full of luxury. And a lot of people have puffed you up and built you into something other than a man. That's all you are, is a man, and you're a man that's preaching the wrong gospel. You've affiliated yourself with the Vatican, the Antichrist, and you can endorse popes, cardinals, and people that are preaching false doctrines, and therefore you're accursed. And all your friends that believe in you are accursed, because they're receiving this gospel that is not really a gospel. Now let's go to chapter 3, please. And I'm talking about so many people. They say that there's once saved, always saved, and that God loves us unconditionally. That is a dirty, filthy lie. There's no gospel like that. So anyone that's preaching that is accursed. And the reason I'm preaching this is so that possibly some of them will repent and start preaching the same gospel that Jesus, the prophets and the apostles preached, okay? Because anyone that preaches any otherwise or believes any otherwise, you're cursed. And I'm your friend. I'm trying to tell you how not to be cursed. Now, if I'm doing something wrong, tell me. Nobody's sending anything to me, you know, that if you're of the Lord, then try to get me to repent, will you? Tell me what I'm reading wrong. I'm just reading what Jesus says and Paul says and Peter says all the other apostles in the Bible and Moses and all the prophets. Now, you just come and tell me what I'm saying wrong. But I can tell you what you're saying wrong, and I've got Bible to back me up, friend. Okay? And I want you to be my friend. Okay? Now, the Vatican hates the Jews. The Bible tells us that anyone that hates people is a murderer, because hatred is the same thing as murder. And we're not to be murderers. No murderer, no hate monger is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. And especially when you hate God's chosen people. Amen?
Amen.
Now, you can't hate me because I'm a Jew. And I'm a born-again Jew. I'm a Hebrew Christian. Okay? According to Scripture, we're the chosen people of the Lord. And if you preach any other thing than that, then you're accursed. So, you know, if you want me to call you a cult, I'd rather call you what the Bible calls you. You're accursed. Now, chapter 3.
O foolish Galatians.
All you fools. You people out there that are believing another gospel. Go ahead.
Who hath bewitched you?
Who's bewitched you? I'm sure that's the spirit of Satan in all these different false teachers. Who has bewitched you to what?
That ye should not obey the truth.
The truth is the gospel that I'm preaching, that Paul preached, that Peter preached, that all the saints of God preached. Then what?
Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you.
Right, we've set Christ forth. I set him forth that he's been crucified and shed his blood so that your soul could be cleansed by that soul-cleansing blood of his, and that the Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ with his Father, by the Spirit could enter you, and with this resurrection power that can resurrect you from the dead once you die. Because you've got to be saved. You must be born again of the Spirit. Now, if you don't believe that, then you're accursed. All right, then what?
This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?
No one could receive the Spirit of God by keeping the law, because everyone has broken the law. Amen?
Amen.
But once you receive the Spirit, you're able to keep the law, the moral law. Now, all the other laws, such as the law of sacrifices, that ended when Christ, all these sacrifices were just types, figures, shadows, or metaphors of Christ. So when the actual sacrifice came into the world, that ended all the animal sacrifices. Now, that ended that part of the law. And most of the law in the Bible is regarding the sacrifices, because they were all pointing to Jesus. When Jesus came, that eliminated that part of the law. That was the law of sacrifices. And also the law of circumcision, because the Lord now wants to enter you by the Spirit. And that is the covenant you make as a spiritual one. He enters and circumcises your heart rather than any part of your physical body. So he enters into your heart, and the kingdom of heaven enters into you, which is Christ, and you become a new creature. Okay, and so these people are starting to do miracles, and they're starting to impose these law of circumcision on one another and everything, and they're trying to become righteous in a religious manner instead of letting God live in them with the Christ living there with God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. Because this is the fulfillment of the law, that we receive God's life in us. That's the bottom line. So that we can enter the kingdom of heaven, the land, the promised land, the kingdom of God. So the bottom line is that all those 4,000 or 5,000 years or say 4,000 years, and then Christ came, and that's 2,000, that's 6,000 years. Now we're entered into the 7,000 years, which is the Sabbath. Now this is the time that everyone should Sabbath every day, because we must Sabbath away from our old sins, sinful way of living. We have to lay our life down and let God do the living in us and through us. And this is the real gospel. This is the one that Jesus preached, Paul preached, Peter preached, and everything. I'm the real deal, the real thing. I'm telling you exactly. I'm not telling you anything new. This has been in the Bible for years. So I'm just telling it to you in a manner that is up to date, streamlined, and able for you to be able to receive in modern language. And so Paul continues.
Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?
Yeah, now, you are, you know, we have to keep the moral law, because if we don't, remember, the law can't save you, because no one kept it. But the Lord entered into you to give you the power, because all power belongs to Christ. Because Christ is God's power and wisdom. Without Christ, God is helpless. He doesn't have any power. Because it's through the work of Christ, of giving his living a perfect life, then dying, it's by that power that we're able to be saved. So unless Christ came into the world, kept all the commandments, and then shed his blood for us, and then conquered death, hell, and the grave, and rose from the dead, and ascended into heaven, it's by that power that we're saved. So God the Spirit gave him the power to be able to do all this, but Christ, the man, is the one that did it all with God's power in him. And we can have God's power in him today. You can have it, that his power in you today, according to the prophets, Christ, and all the disciples, all the apostles. You can have this same power to keep the moral law. You're not commanded to keep sacrifice anymore. Be sacrilege to sacrifice any animal or bird unto the Lord. Now, that would be denying that Christ was the sacrifice. And so that would make God very angry. So don't ever, ever, ever sacrifice an animal and think that you're pleasing God. You're making him enraged. Okay, so now this is the Bible that the Vatican, the church front in Rome, the city of the seven mountains, is condemning and saying that God's word is false, and that that makes them so accursed. They blaspheme the Holy Spirit, and therefore there's no possibility of parole out of hell and the lake of fire for them. They can't even repent anymore. So they figure, what do we got to lose? We're going to hell anyway, and let's take as many people as we can with us. We're accursed, and let's get everybody else accursed. Let's preach another doctrine to them, that the church of Satan, this church front, and its government that enforces its demonic, anti-Christ, anti-human, anti-child, children, anti-Christ, God, anti-word of God, anti-Christian doctrine. Let's get them. They want to get us. They want us to stop preaching the gospel that God gave to all these people, that Christ gave to us and all the apostles, because the one purpose is that you will not receive eternal life, that you'll be accursed into hell. Okay, now, and these Galatians here were starting to fall back into a religious situation, to where they're denying the power of God. The power of God must live in you and through you in order for you to satisfy God's desire or purpose for saving you in the first place. He wants to live in you and talk through you like he's talking through me right now, to convince the gainsayer of their evil ways and to believe the gospel, which is able to save your soul. Then what?
Have ye suffered so many things in vain?
Yeah, have you gone through trials and tribulations in the gospel and all of a sudden you're going to start being religious? Okay, come on, what
else? If it be yet in vain. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?
Yeah, did anyone ever come to you that wasn't born again of the Spirit and bring any spiritual thing to you? Because they kept the law? Keeping the law, I mean, they may not have committed adultery or fornication or everything, but they missed the boat because they won't allow God's life to be poured into them. So religious people can look holy, but they deny the power of God, the resurrection of power to live in them and work in and through them to win other people. A self-righteous religious person, it says that they'll wind up in hell before a common whore. Because they deny God's righteousness or his salvation. We are God's righteousness because we're saved. We become born again of the Spirit and let him live in us and through us. But if you don't do that, well, then, of course, you're not saved. All right? You've got to let God's life live in you. That's what this message is all about, to have God's life, how to have God's life living in you. Okay, and then what?
Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness.
Yeah, it was accounted unto him to be saved, because he believed God. If you believe another gospel, you're cursed. If you believe any other gospel, which is no gospel at all, you're cursed. If you start believing in religion, but Abraham was told to leave his home and property and everything, and to go to a land that he doesn't know about. And he did it. But that's what the Lord asks of. He says, you want to go to a land that you've never seen yet? Well, then obey me. Get my life living in you, and you're whole. You're going to be a new creature, and you're going to start living a new lifestyle. And I'm going to maybe tell you to go here or there or do this or that, and you have to obey me. That's what the gospel is all about, is to be obedient to the Lord. To believe the Lord is to be saved. To doubt is to be damned, Jesus said. These are the last words that Jesus said before he was ascended into the kingdom of heaven. Go into all the world, preach this gospel, the truth, the only one and only gospel that I gave to you people, and I've given it to you to go and preach to all the nations. And those that believe shall be saved, and those that doubt shall be damned to hell in the lake of fire. All right? That's the gospel. Now, if anybody preaches any other thing to you, they're liars. I'm just preaching what Jesus said. And Jesus is God. The Bible says that he's Emmanuel, God with us. And Jesus said he is the Almighty God. And the Old Testament says that he's coming to the world as a man, and that he'll be Counselor, Prince of Peace, the Mighty God. Amen?
Amen.
And that Christ created everything in the universe, everything in heaven and earth, and the heaven and earth itself. And the oceans and everything. So he's God, and he's worthy of being worshipped. Read the first chapter of Genesis. It tells us that he created everything. Amen?
Amen.
Even you. All right? And who are you, a little mud patty with some spirit of temporal life in you, criticizing the Almighty God? Don't criticize him. He'll not go well with you on the day of judgment. Okay, then what?
Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham.
See, they're the children of Abraham, they're the children of God, if you have faith. But if you doubt anything that this Bible teaches you, you're accursed. And so the Bible never teaches. The Bible teaches that Satan's seat is in the city of the seven mountains. That's the Vatican. It tells that this is an enormously wealthy church front. And that it actually has its grip on all the politicians, all the leaders and kings of countries. There's no other church that comes close to that, or church front. There's a lot of bad churches or church fronts that are not really churches of the Lord, but none of them come in comparison to that one. That one is the one. They're wealthy beyond imagination. Well, I see that my time is up again, and I'm going to tell you I'm going to have Sharon tell you four different ways that you can receive this tape or CD. Now, this is tape number 129 and CD number 129. So go ahead, Sharon, and tell them four different ways that they can receive this, or if they can receive a Bible or tapes in the past or literature. Go ahead.
Go to our website at alamoministries.com. Write us at Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505. Call area code 479-782-7370. Fax us at area code 479-782-7406.
All right, so now you've heard the real gospel. You can check the Bible to see if I'm telling you the truth. I preach to you the same thing Jesus preaches, the apostles, the prophets. And God Almighty is the only way into the kingdom of heaven through Christ. And so if that's what you want, you don't want to, nobody, I don't think, in their right mind wants to burn and be tortured throughout eternity for rejecting such a wonderful, beautiful, powerful salvation that the Lord has provided for you, and healing and blessings here on earth and in the world to come, everlasting life. And you can receive everlasting life right now by saying this prayer to the Lord. Just say to him, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus, with the Father by the Spirit. Wash all my filthy sins away, my former filthy sins away, in the precious blood that you shed for me on the cross at Calvary. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus, Father God, Holy Spirit, because I'm confessing I'm a sinner. I'm making confession about that. And I know that you promise that anyone that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I am calling upon you, Lord. Therefore, I know you've heard me. And I know you've answered me. And I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up and praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Now read the Bible, and not one of these government Bibles. I'm talking about the King James Version, all right? Or the Aramaic Bible, but the main, the King James Version, all right? And be sure to tune in tomorrow for part 28 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And until then, may God bless you richly, and praise the Lord. Let me know if you received the Lord. Write me a letter. Call us or something, you know. And it encourages my heart, my soul, to know that the Lord has used me in such a manner that your soul is saved. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen.